Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we know there's a work to be done. Hallelujah. There's a work to be done in these last days. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll use each and every one of us. Hallelujah. To accomplish your work. Thank you, Lord. We yield ourselves to you. Hallelujah. We surrender our lives to you. We yield our lives to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just keep worshiping him. There's more. There's more of that. Hallelujah. Sahala bakoda meshete kete di le bakomo shavikate. Indeleva paramashango dala vando nora de bestele vecadia tiningale remende la ponia denia. O pamela vedi cunim in agasse de la vege de la vicale man arambe bojtenege. For there is a work to be done. There is a work to be done in these days, and I will work through my body. I will work through my chosen ones. I will work through you. Think not that you don't qualify. Think not that you're not able. Think not that because you're not some great one in the eyes of men or some great one in the eyes of the world that you can't be used by me. For I will use you. I will work through you. I'll work through your faith. I'll work through your prayers. I'll work through your obedience. I'll work through your yieldedness to me, and I will accomplish my great plan. For I'm on the move in these days. I'm at work in these days. Turn your eyes away from that which the enemy is doing, and turn your eyes upon that which I'm doing, and see by the eye of faith, and see in the realm of the Spirit. For if you'll allow me to, I'll open your eyes so that you can see. I'll open your understanding so you can understand, and so you can know what I'm doing, and you'll work with me and you'll flow with me. So yield yourself to me and know that these are great days. These are great times. These are days of my Spirit. These are the days of the harvest, as you sing in one of your songs. And so know that this is the time that I will work through my true church, that I will work through my true body, and my purpose and my plan shall be accomplished, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. We believe it. We believe it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Glory to God. We close our eyes to sing and open our eyes, and there's more people here. Yay. I like how that works. Amen. I wonder if we sang some more and closed our eyes again, and we open our eyes, and the place might fill up if we did go through this three or four times. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're talking about the gifts and the operations of the Holy Spirit. And we just had one. We had two, actually. We had tongues and the interpretation of tongues. That's what that was. That's what that message was. I gave a message in tongues, and then I gave the interpretation. We're going to talk about that, those gifts tonight. So the Lord's already demonstrating for us. Amen. Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So we had a demonstration tonight. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. That's good. Amen? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. These are the words from, we know this as 1 Corinthians 12. It's part of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians, the believers in the city of Corinth. He had gone there and preached to them, and they'd gotten saved. And they were that was a wild bunch. The folks in Corinth were a wild bunch. They'd been involved in all sorts of sexual immorality through their idol worship. Their idol worship in that the idols they worshipped in that city. The temples were a sexual experience, and there was all kinds of sexual immorality that he had to straighten them out on and say, look, if you're gonna live for God, then your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you know, your body belongs to God. And he taught them about all of that. And then they were evidently a very lively group as well, because they'd embraced the spiritual gifts, and they were operating in spiritual gifts, but Some of them, they were going to an excess in, and he had to straighten them out about communion, and, you know, they were getting together for communion, and some of them were getting drunk, and I mean, dear God, I'm so glad I didn't pastor that church. Amen. But anyway, they were using the spiritual gifts, but there was also misuse and misapplication. So he wrote to them to give them some guidelines about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he, this is where he starts in the letter that we where we know it is chapter 12, verse 1. It's the first words that he says about this. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And unfortunately, almost 2,000 years later, the church world, by and large, is ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And so, which is sad. But we don't have to be. Amen? And so he doesn't want us to be ignorant. And I pointed out to you last week, and I'm going to just give us a little bit of review, then move into some new things. But where he says spiritual gifts there, that those two words, spiritual gifts, now concerning spiritual gifts. It's the word gifts, if you're looking at it in a King James or New King James Bible, the word gifts is italicized, which means it's not in the original language. It's not in the Greek. The translators added it thinking that they were making it more, the meaning more clear for us to understand. But it literally says now concerning spirituals. And it's the word is plural actually there. So, now concerning spirituals, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, literally that means things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. He said anything pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. Amen. Well, that would be the gifts of the Spirit, but it would also be the way the Holy Spirit works. Amen. The operations of the Holy Spirit as well. And before coming to Christ, these people, as I said, they worship dumb idols. And he said in verse 2, he says, you know that you were Gentiles and you were carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Now, the idols were dumb in two ways. They were dumb because they were stupid, because they weren't real. They were just pieces of silver or gold or stone or wood. But they were also dumb in the sense, and this is really how I meant it, they were dumb in the sense that they couldn't speak. They were idols that could not speak. Okay, so when he says dumb idols, that's what he really means. He said, you were worshiping these idols that couldn't speak. You know, they would go into the temple and they'd do all these things and not make these offerings to these idols. And the idol, of course, it's stone. It's just going to stand there. It's not even going to blink its eyes. Right? And it can't speak. He said, you were worshiping a dumb idol, but now you're worshiping the living God. He speaks. Amen. Hallelujah. He speaks and he acts because he's not a dumb idol. He's alive. Amen. And he says, I want to make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. So if someone gets up and says, hey, I've got a prophecy. Jesus is cursed. That's not the Holy Spirit he's telling them. Yeah. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the gifts of the Spirit will always point to and glorify and exalt Jesus. Any manifestation of the Holy Spirit, any working of the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. If it draws attention to man, if it draws attention to something else other than Jesus, then I would question if that's of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. I want to read it out of the King James. In the King James, it says now, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. What does diversities mean? It means different, right? And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So administration was the way that gift is administered. There's different ways that the gifts are administered, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So God works in different ways. There are different gifts, and He uses people differently. Amen? And there's some commonalities, yet there's a lot of variety in the manifestation and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit through God's people. Amen. Let's keep reading now. Verse 7. He says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." For the profit of who? For all. Okay. It's given to each one or given out individually, but it's not to profit me personally. If there's a gift of the Spirit operating through me, for instance, that tongue and interpretation, that was to bless all of us. That was to encourage all of us, right? Amen. He says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." In other words, we don't pick and choose and say, "Okay, I want that one." And then you don't become the possessor of it, for you turn it on and turn it off at your command. No, it's the Holy Spirit distributes these things, and to each of us, each believer can be used in the gifts of the Spirit, but it is as the Holy Spirit wills. We yield to Him, and then He manifests Himself through us as He wills. Amen. Now, if you were counting, when we read through those verses, you know that there are 9 gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit here. All right, and we're gonna again break them down and talk about them, but in a moment here. But I also want to go down to verse 27 again in the way of review, and he's still talking about things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles?" And what's the answer? "Are all prophets?" "Are all teachers?" "Are all workers of miracles?" "Do all have gifts of healings?" The no's are getting quieter. They're dropping off here less and less. "Wait a minute, Pastor. You've been teaching that healing, that it's God's will to heal everybody." Well, of course it is. But not everybody's going to operate in the ministry gift of gifts of healings. We can all, Jesus said, "These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." We can all lay hands on people in faith with the authority in the name of Jesus and expect people to be healed. But God also ministers through special anointings that we call gifts of healings. That's what he's talking about here, okay? So everybody's not going to operate in that gift. "Do all speak with tongues?" And again, people are going to say, "No, yes." Well, is it God's will that every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. And what is that initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? It's speaking with tongues. And so in that regard, yes, every believer can speak with tongues, but not everybody is going to operate. Everybody can be used that way, but not everybody is going to operate with a ministry of tongues and interpretation. All right? That's what he's talking about there. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Okay? So this list here, these things that he mentions here, what we call ministry gifts. So we've got, in the first part of 1 Corinthians 12, we've got the 9 gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And here we have what we call ministry gifts. All right. And this list is also, or these gifts are also listed in Ephesians 4. So let's read about them there in Ephesians 4:11. "And he gave some to be apostles." Well, we find apostles in that list in 1 Corinthians 12, right? Okay, come on. Amen. Okay, I want to make sure you're getting it. All right. And some prophets. We find prophets in 1 Corinthians 12. But notice, you know, Paul, he asks the rhetorical question in 1 Corinthians, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Here he words it a little bit differently. He said he gave some. Well, that'd be the same as saying all or not when he says some are. Right? Okay. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now here's where the list varies from 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. When we get to we find apostles, prophets, and teachers all in the list in 1 Corinthians 12. But then in 1 Corinthians 12, we find miracles and gifts of healings. Well, that corresponds to the ministry of the evangelist. He mentions evangelist in Ephesians 4. A true New Testament evangelist will have miracles and gifts of healings in their operating in their ministry. Look at Philip. In fact, Philip is called an evangelist. We read about that in Acts 21, or in Acts 8, it says Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ, and the people gave heed to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And he talks, and it talks about people being lame, being healed. So he talks about miracles, and he talks about healings, and there was great joy in the city. And then we fast forward to Acts chapter 21, and Paul and his ministry team come to the house of Philip. The Bible says Philip the evangelist. I didn't put those scriptures in the list tonight, but if you want to check me out, make sure I'm telling you the truth. When Kenneth Hagin was preaching, and his son, Kenneth Hagin Jr., who's 80 years old now, believe it or not, and the pastor of Rhema Bible Church, but when he was a little boy, he'd go with his daddy preaching, and after service one time, he said, "Daddy, those tales that you tell when you're preaching, are they so, or are you just a preaching?" So just so you make sure, that I'm not just a preaching, but I'm telling you the truth. It's Acts 21. Let me find it. The verse I quoted to you. All right, it says, we entered the house, Acts 21, verse 8. We entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. So he's an evangelist. He has miracles, the gifts of healings. That's my point, okay? And then you see in Ephesians 4, we see the ministry office of pastor mentioned, and we see it described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as administrations. And then we also see that tongues and interpretation is a ministry that God has set in the church. And I mentioned to you last week about my pastors in Tulsa when I was going to Rhema, and the 4 years I lived in Tulsa for 4 years, and my pastor was Buddy Harrison and his wife Pat. Pat happened to be Kenneth Hagin's daughter. And they had a wonderful ministry of tongues and interpretation. Miss Pat would give a message in tongues, and then Buddy would interpret, and very, very powerful, very accurate, very detailed ministry that way. That's what God said in the church. This is what we call ministry gifts, okay? So we've got the nine manifestations of the Spirit. We've got ministry gifts. And then we've got what we call motivational gifts. That's Romans chapter 12. Verse 3, let's read that again. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, which in some translations that's translated practical service, let us use it in our ministering or in our serving. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality or generously, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Again, these are what we call the motivational gifts, and I believe that every believer has one of these, and that's your primary driving motivation behind you. And what is your gift? What is it? Is it prophecy? Is it mercy? Is it practical service? Is it give? Do you know giving is listed as one of these gifts here? The gift of giving. Praise God. Where God puts you in a position where you can be generous. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that are in position to be generous, but they aren't. Amen? But then there's some folks that you just see that they just love to give. God's put them in a position to be, and they know what they've been blessed to do, and they do it, they give, and they're generous. Praise God. So anyway, I believe every one of us fit in here somewhere in these motivational gifts. So we've got the 9 manifestations of the Spirit, we've got the 5 ministry gifts, and then we've got the 7 motivational gifts. So let's go back and talk about the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit that were listed there in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. And we see that they're in 3 categories. We mentioned this last week. But there are 3 gifts or 3 manifestations that reveal something. 3 that reveal something. That's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. It's not the gift of discernment. It's the gift of discerning of spirits. There is no gift of discernment. Every Christian should have and should develop in discernment. We should be wise. We should be discerning. But a lot of times people think they have the gift of discernment, and it's really, as somebody said, just the gift of suspicion. You gotta have, that's the look of the gift of suspicion operating. I think you're up to something. I don't trust you. There's no gift of suspicion or gift of discernment. There is a gift of discerning of spirits. What is that? It's seeing into the realm of the Spirit. Amen. All right. Then there are 3, and we'll talk more about these individually later. There are 3 gifts that do something. 3 gifts that reveal something. 3 gifts that do something. What are these? The gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. These are also known as the power gifts. Gifts that do something. And then there are 3 gifts that say something. That would be prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These are also known as the utterance gifts. And we're going to talk about those tonight. And we're going to start here because these seem to be and tend to be the most commonly distributed, the utterance gifts. All right? And so the utterance gifts are prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All right? Again, we said this to you. We talked a little bit about prophecy last week. A person can be used in the gift of prophecy, but that doesn't make them a prophet. Okay? Philip, that verse we mentioned in Acts 21, we looked at that in detail last week. Philip had 4 virgin daughters, the Bible said, who prophesied. They were not prophets or prophetesses, but they prophesied. Okay? So they were operating in the gift of prophecy, but they were not standing in the office of prophet or prophetess in their case, since they were female. So what is prophecy? What is it exactly? We can have people give their opinion, but what does the Bible define it as? That's the best definition, right? Let's look and see how the Word defines it, how the Scripture defines it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And so he says, first of all, he says, pursue love, and he says, desire spiritual gifts. Do you do that? The whole church ought to be, Brother Hagin pointed out, Paul wrote to the whole church at Corinth and told the whole church to desire spiritual gifts. Are you doing that? If you haven't been, I'm not saying this to condemn you, but if you haven't been, I want to ask you to start. Would you do that? Would you just start desiring the spiritual gifts? You say, what do you mean? How do I desire the spiritual gifts? Well, just on your way to church, like some of us come in here early on Sunday morning, and I pray specifically about this. I say, Lord, your word says that we're to desire the spiritual gifts. So, Lord, I desire, and I name out all nine manifestations of the Spirit. And I say, Holy Spirit, I just yield myself to you, and I pray that you would manifest yourself as you will in our midst when we come together. So if you would begin to pray that way for our church on a regular basis, just pray that the nine manifestations of the Spirit would be in operation in our church, and desire that. Amen? He tells us to. Amen? All right, are y'all with me? Will you do that? Raise your hand if you say, yes, Pastor, I'll do that. I'll desire the manifestations of the Spirit. Amen. All right. We're to do it. We're to do it. It doesn't matter to me who God uses, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, well, I don't know if I want to, you know, step into that. Well, you just desire that they be manifested in our midst. Whether he uses any of us or not is immaterial. Doesn't matter who he uses. We just want the result. We just want God to move. Amen? We don't want to come up short. We don't want to be lacking. You know, God's given us supernatural equipment. Amen? Praise God. And we ought to have it. Well, in order to have it, we have to desire it. Amen. So he says, desire them. Desire these manifestations. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Notice that. He put that above the rest of them. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. When you're praying in tongues, who are you talking to? You're talking to God, aren't you? You know? If the devil, you know, like Dad Hagin talked about one day, he started, you know, decided to pray in tongues for an hour, and the devil, you know, came to him, his voice or thoughts came to him. He knew it was the devil and said, you know, you've wasted an hour there. You know, what are you doing? You've just wasted an hour. And he said, did you understand what you were saying? And he said, no. He said, I wasn't talking to me and I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to God. Amen. God understood it. Amen. So you're speaking to God. All right. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but here we go. Here's what I wanted to get to. But he who prophesies speaks what? Everybody say it. Say it with me. Edification. Okay. Well, they can't repeat it, Mike, because we got the wrong verse up there. Back on verse 3. Thank you. He who prophesies speaks what? There we go. And comfort to men. So the three things that prophecy accomplishes, he who prophesies is speaking. He's doing what? Speaking, okay. He who prophesies speaks edification, that's upbuilding, and exhortation, that's stirring you up, and comfort to men. That's what prophecy, that's what the simple gift of prophecy does. It's an inspired utterance. Prophecy is an inspired utterance in a known tongue, in your known language. An inspired utterance, a supernatural utterance. Remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul said, no one, notice this phrase, speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed. Okay? So what did he, but the phrase there, he says, speaking by the Spirit of God. It's possible for us to speak by the Spirit of God. When a person speaks by the Spirit of God in their known language, that's prophecy. That's prophecy. It's an inspired utterance. You're speaking by the Spirit of God in your known language. And when you do so, if it is from God, it's going to bring edification, it's going to bring exhortation, and it's going to bring comfort. Praise God. There's no element of foretelling the future in that. All right? Now, and he says, notice he says in verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So what the personal side of speaking in tongues accomplishes for us individually, prophecy accomplishes for the entire congregation. Amen? What does speaking in tongues do? The Bible says when we speak in tongues, it edifies us, right? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. In Jude, he said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves by praying in the Holy Spirit. So that edification that you get from speaking in tongues individually, that can be brought to the entire congregation through prophecy. Do we need that? I say we do. Amen? Praise God. Yes. All right. Now, let's talk about, along with prophecy, there are the gifts of different kinds of tongues. The three utterance gifts are prophecy, then different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All right. These two gifts, different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, always work together. All right. And they're equal to prophecy, just like two nickels equals a dime. You know, maybe with inflation now we should say just like two $5 bills equals a $10 bill. Okay, but you get the picture, right? Okay, two nickels are the same value as one dime, right? We could look at a dime as prophecy. We could look at tongues and interpretation as two nickels. Got it? Okay. But they go together that way, and they flow together. So look at what he says in verse 5. He says, in verse 5, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets. Just like a dime is greater than a nickel, unless you got two nickels. Then they're equal. Okay. All right. Unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. The message in tongues that I gave at the beginning of the service, and then as I gave the interpretation, that should have edified us. Amen. That should have encouraged us and edified us. Praise God. All right. So different kinds of tongues then, here's the definition, is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. And when I say unknown tongue, I mean unknown to the speaker. It may or may not be unknown to the hearers. It's possible that it could be known to the hearers. I've had that happen. I've shared before. A couple years ago, we were in a service here, and I was led to pray at the end of the service, and we were praying for the nation. It was around the 4th of July, and we were praying for the nation, and we got through praying, and there was a lady sitting in the back. She came up to me afterwards. She said, "Where did you learn ancient Turkish at?" I said, "Well, I didn't." And I said, "Was I speaking it?" She said, "Oh, yes, you were." I said, "What was I saying?" She says, "Oh, my." And she said, "You were really telling, you know, talking to the Lord and really declaring what, you know, what was to be, you know, what his plan for our nation." And so things like that. Yeah, yeah. Praise God. And so I didn't know. But when you're giving a message in tongues, it's a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue, unknown to you as the speaker. And then the interpretation of tongues is a supernatural showing forth of that which has been said in an unknown tongue. Now, another thing about tongues and interpretation is that these two gifts or these two manifestations are distinctive of the new covenant. All the other gifts of the Spirit, all the other seven gifts of the Spirit, we find them in manifestation in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. But we don't find tongues and interpretation in the Old Testament. They are distinctive to the New Covenant. Praise God. All right, let's skip down to verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 14. And Paul says this, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." Who can prophesy? We all can. He said, "You all can. You all can prophesy one by one." And what's the result? What happens when we prophesy? Well, what should happen if it's prophecy from God, then it should teach us something. We should learn, and it should encourage us that you all may learn, that all may learn, and all may be encouraged. Praise God. So prophecy, along with, and we can say the same about tongues and interpretation because that's equal to prophecy. These are gifts that are to be common and widely used in the church. And you can all prophesy. All right? That's why he talks about these gifts being having to be judged. All right? Let's go back up, actually, to verse 26, and let's look at this verse more in context that we just read. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation. Wait, stop right there for a second. First of all, he says, when you come together, each of you has a psalm. In Ephesians, it says we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I dare say not many of us do that, do we? Well, we ought to. Amen. We ought to learn how to do that. We ought to have a good enough and a genuine enough communion with the Holy Spirit that we learn to speak in psalms. My pastor, Pastor Moss, speaks in psalms, writes them out. God gives him psalms. And I've shared some of them with you, especially with our prayer school group. They're powerful, and he has a constant flow of those. So each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Let it whatever's done, whatever you have, bring it, give it, and let your motivation be for edification, to edify the body. Amen? All right. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be... Again, here's where he's given some guidelines because they'd gotten into some excess. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So a message in tongues without anyone to interpret, it really wouldn't accomplish anything in a church service. All right? So you can speak to yourself in tongues. That's beneficial. But you won't be just to get up and give a message in tongues without there being any interpretation. That wouldn't be effective. Okay? Let him speak to himself and to God. So you're speaking to yourself and you're edifying yourself and you're speaking to God when you pray in tongues. But it wouldn't be something that you would minister to the entire congregation unless there's an interpretation with it. Okay? Everybody with me? All right. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Notice prophecy is to be judged. Well, if you're speaking by the Spirit of God, why is it to be judged? Well, because even though the message and the flow of God may be pure, it's manifested through an imperfect, not, I wouldn't say impure necessarily, don't want to give the wrong idea like you're in sin, but an imperfect vessel. We can miss it. We can put our own interpretation on things. So that's why prophecy needs to be judged, all right? And he goes on to say in verse 30, but if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. All right. So point number one in this passage is this. We should have something when we come to church. Thank you. We should have something. I know that everybody's sitting there thinking, come on, I'm trying to lift us up here, amen. I'm convicted as well. We all ought to have something when we come to church. We all ought to be prayed up, amen. Number one, we ought to know that, hey, it's important that I be there because I'm coming because I'm bringing a supply. Amen. Every time you come, you bring a supply of the Spirit of God. Amen. And we ought to have something when we come to church. Amen. Praise God. We shouldn't just come to church and say, well, only if it's going to apply to me or if it's going to be fit, you know. No, I'm come to bring something. Amen. Praise God. We're to have tongues and interpretation in our services. Amen. Again, prophecy is to be judged. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5, verse 19. He says, do not quench the Spirit. we get to that one, Mike? Did I, 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. I've been saying Corinthians all night. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Do not quench the Spirit. Do you know we can be guilty of that? We can be guilty of quenching the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? How are we? We don't want to be guilty of quenching the Holy Spirit, do we? Amen. How are we guilty of quenching the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, when we don't desire or expect the gifts of the Spirit. When we don't come with an expectation, that's quenching Him. Or when we don't yield to the Holy Spirit, when we say, okay, we're just going to do our program, you know, we're not going to let, we don't have time, we don't have time for you, Holy Spirit, to interrupt our program. I'm happy for the Holy Spirit to interrupt our program. Amen. And we all ought to be that way. Amen? We all ought to desire. We shouldn't quench the Spirit. Another way we quench the Spirit, he says, do not despise prophecies. Why? And the word despise there means to, you know, think light of. And I picture it like this. You know, somebody prophesies, gives a word, and people say, oh, no, they're doing it again. That's despising prophecy. You ever seen that? You ever heard that happen or seen that occur? Why does that happen? Well, because we think, oh no, they're going. You know, they missed it last time. You know, that was a word that didn't really mean anything or help anybody. So, but don't despise them. Amen. That's quenching the Holy Spirit when we despise prophecy. When we minimize it, when we lightly esteem it, when we think, oh, not that again. Now we should welcome. Now we're to judge the prophecies, yes, but at the same time we're to have an expectation. We're to welcome them, and receive them, and not quench the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then he says, test all things and hold fast what is good. That's another way to say judge the prophecy, judge the utterance. Amen. And then he says back in 1 Corinthians, let's go back to there, back there again, verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 14, Mike. Verse 32, 1 Corinthians 14 and 32. We were there at one point. 32. 1 Corinthians 14, 32. Not too far back. There we are. All right, you got it. Okay. Look what he says here. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What does that mean? That means that nobody can say, well, Pastor, I couldn't help it. I just, you know, right in the middle of your sermon, I just got up and blurted out this prophecy. You know, God made me do it. No, he didn't. I said, no, he didn't. Are y'all awake out there tonight? Come on, wake up. No, God didn't make you do it. Amen. He won't make you do it. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. That means you can choose to give that utterance. You can choose to hold that utterance in. You can discern when's the best time for that. Amen. You don't have to just give it. Amen. You can be discerning. Amen. Now, I'm not saying don't give it. I'm not saying, because that's quenching the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying we can be discerning. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God's not going to make you say something. Amen. You still have to yield, and you still have a measure of control in that. All right? Okay. All right. All right. Praise God. Now, so then he says, let's go back to 31, the next verse in 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Amen. And I want to read to you something I think kind of humorous. Part of it is, and this is a great book, which we do not have in the bookstore, but I'm going to hopefully get some in. The Holy Spirit and His Gifts by Kenneth Hagin. It's a study course, and where you can go through it, and then there's fill in the blank. You can answer the questions at the end of each chapter and all. It'd be a good study guide to go through. I would recommend it. But I want to read a little section here called Misuses of the Gift of Prophecy. The misuse of the gift of prophecy can cause confusion among believers, but God's not the author of confusion, right? Okay? If folks would use prophecy as the Scripture teaches, it would be a great blessing to the body of Christ. But some people hear a minister who operates in the prophet's ministry bring forth revelation, and they think they can do that too. So they try to bring forth some foretelling, which is foretelling, using foretelling the future, instead of just forthtelling, or the simple gift of prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort, and they get into trouble. A woman once told me, I attend a prayer group where all they do is lay hands on one another and prophesy. I would question that right there. But if anything has ever come to pass, I don't know it. They laid hands on me and prophesied that my mother was going to die within 6 months' time. But it's been longer than that, and she hasn't died yet. The woman continued, then they prophesied that my husband was going to leave me within the year. But it's been longer than that, and he hasn't left me yet. We have a good marriage. They have prophesied a lot of other things too, none of which has happened. These people were misusing whatever gift they may have had. But if people would just stay with the simple gift of prophecy, speaking unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort, they would be fine. Certainly there are those who stand in the prophet's ministry who sometimes minister along the line of foretelling or prediction. There are others who operate in other gifts of the Spirit, such as word of wisdom or word of knowledge, which also may come forth in prophecy. However, those who operate in the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom through prophecy do not necessarily stand in the office of prophet, because as we saw earlier, there are other qualifications needed to stand in that office. And we'll get into that. We'll talk about it. We haven't seen that earlier, but he talked about it earlier in this book. Also, revelation gifts are ministered more on a continual basis in the office of prophet. All right? The simple gift of prophecy is not prediction. Many people think the gift of prophecy is prediction. The simple gift of prophecy, however, is not prediction, but is speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, you don't have them when you're born into this world. You must first be born into the kingdom of God through the new birth, and then you must receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit divides the gifts of the Spirit to every man severally as He wills. Also, you must be in the Spirit for the gifts of the Spirit to operate. Gifts of the Spirit do not operate in the flesh. In other words, you must wait upon the unction of the Holy Spirit for the manifestation of spiritual gifts. That is not something we do apart from God. It is amazing how many people have followed the wrong teaching along this line. But there's no use in backing off from the real and the genuine because of the counterfeit. No, that is all the more reason we need to allow the Holy Spirit to demonstrate the genuine gifts of the Spirit through us and show people from the Word of God what is genuine. It is unfortunate that even some Christians are misled about spiritual gifts. For example, one fellow told me that before he went to work every morning, he waited for the Lord to give him a word of prophecy to know which tie to wear. God's not interested in what tie you wear. Come on. Amen. Now, could God prompt you to wear a certain tie? I suppose He could, but for you to every day, for you to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what tie do you want me to wear today? All right. That wasn't a word of prophecy. Actually, he was opening himself to deception by the devil. Someone once wrote asking me to prophesy to him which church he should attend. This is unscriptural. Each believer has the Holy Spirit as a guide and counselor on the inside, John 16:13. And the primary way God leads His children is by the inward witness, not by someone else prophesying to them. Amen. On another occasion, while I was holding a meeting in Colorado, some folks from New York called the owner of the motel where I was staying at 4 a.m. in the morning. I guess 4 a.m. I guess that's redundant. At 4 o'clock in the morning, and said that it was an emergency and they needed to talk to me. My wife and I had no phone in the room where we were staying, so the owner came knocking on our door. He said I had a telephone call. I got out of bed and about half awake, I put up my shirt on and started out the door to the motel office. My wife called out to me, "Honey, aren't you going to put your pants on?" Only half awake, I hadn't realized that I wasn't wearing them. I went back and put my pants on. When I answered the phone, the person on the other end said, "Brother Hagin, we're having an all-night prayer meeting, and we just got to thinking we would call you and see if you had a word for us." She meant a word of prophecy. Well, I had a word for them, all right. But it wasn't a word of prophecy. And I didn't give it to them because it wouldn't have been from the Lord. It would have been from my flesh. Sometimes God may use you to give a word to someone, but that doesn't mean you can just turn the gifts of the Spirit on and off whenever you want to. Let's realize that what we have is from and by the Spirit of God, and let's minister what we have according to the direction and unction of the Spirit of God. All right, amen. One last verse here, or passage, maybe a couple of verses. All right, whoops, let's go on down to 1 Corinthians, the last one, verse 39 and 40, Mike. We won't take time to look at those other verses yet. All right, 39, he says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." To do what? He says, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. In other words, as Paul was summing this up, he said, "I want to make sure that you're not misunderstanding me. I want you to prophesy. I want you to desire earnestly to prophesy. And don't forbid people to speak in tongues. Don't for even exercise the gift according to the guidelines I've given you," he said, "but don't forbid it." Amen? And then he says in verse 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I hope we've learned some things tonight. And we'll be continuing on this over the next few weeks. So